In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I'm Brian Shackman, along with John Senecal. This is episode 56, where we sort of start that ease in to the offseason. We have offseason awards. The nominations are out, the finalists, or whatever you want to call them.
Do you remember when they used to do this, like where they would give you the finals?
I don't. I only remember the winner.
Yeah, I always feel like it was just voted on, and you kind of knew who the finalists were.
It doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out
right.
who they're considering.
But now they're jamming it down your throat.
But you know what? I don't mind it because, A, it extends the relevance because there's nothing to talk about. I mean, you got the general manager's meetings, you got the work stoppage, which we'll talk about, but we're not talking about today. And for some reason, it elongates the conversation, if you will. Right. So I don't mind it from that perspective.
It gives you something to debate because there's three choices.
So I'm okay with it. And to be honest, the nominees, the finalists, or whatever you want to call them, I think that there's some hot garbage in here.
Yeah,
to be
a lot
honest.
Of hot garbage.
Yes, and so I'm really kind of ticked off about a couple of things. And I want this is
and that's why I say that. Like they're kind of shoving it down your throat.
Well, I mean, it shows you if these are the ones they're considering for the award, then in a couple of these categories, I'm not happy with any of them. But what I would say is, and I want to start with the MVP. Because none of the finalists made the playoffs. Not one of the six.
Right.
And in the old days, remember when Cal Ripken had that one great year? And they're like, I don't know if we can give it to him because the team is in last place. And I think he ended up winning it. But it was it wasn't a scandal. But it's like back then, 30 years ago, you were told that they had to be on a team that actually was successful.
He had to carry you. He had someone, he was carrying you to the playoffs or at least to the playoffs.
How can you be valuable when your team sucks?
Right. Well, not only that, Toronto has two.
Right.
And they didn't make the playoffs. If you could look at it in the end, when it's all said and done, they'll probably have four out of the top 12 or 10.
True. And you know what? And I think Toronto, in some ways, it's a shame they didn't make the postseason. But here's let's start with the AL MVP since you brought up Toronto. You have Vlad Guerrero Jr., Marcus Semien, who I didn't really pay much attention to until I saw his power numbers from second base, which is insane.
Well, nobody did because Oakland just gave up on him and basically said, you know, here you go, and nobody wanted him. And Toronto said, you want to play second base? Here's $18 million.
It's crazy. And then there's Shohei Ohtani. And I know what you're going to say. I think I do. And if I'm wrong, just tell me. I mean, you're going to pick Ohtani.
No. No, I'm not going to pick Ohtani. Listen, the problem with Ohtani is he's going to get skewed, right? Because he does both. And that's good and bad, right? Because they're going to say, well, that's a separate award, pitching. But it's also going to say, well, no one else
does. I'm not talking about his ability to win the award with votes. I'm talking whether you think he's the most valuable player.
I don't think he is.
Okay. I totally don't think he is. And the reason is that, A, he's not the best at either. But that's not why. He's the best all-around baseball player in the world. There's no doubt about it. But is he the most valuable? And I say maybe not because you basically get an extra roster position because he's there, which is great. But I think he's really good at both. But I don't think that makes him the most valuable player. I just don't.
Right. Yeah, especially, I mean, the team completely underperformed. There's injuries, obviously, with Trout and Rendon. But still, like, they really didn't do anything.
Yeah. And then if you think Ohtani doesn't win it, Semien does not have... I think Guerrero's going to win it because of the name recognition.
Well, not only that. I mean, he did chase the Triple Crown for a long, long time.
Right, but he would also go like 7 to 10 days without a home run and then hit 5 in 5 days and stuff. Right. Like, he's very streaky from the long ball perspective. But I don't know. I don't like any of the options, but I usually would think that two players from one team would dilute the vote, but I think Guerrero is going to win it.
Yeah, I mean, well, Vlad leads in every one of those categories that, the substantial ones, the runs, the home runs, the RBIs, except for stolen bases. Showtime has that. But, I mean, 48 home runs, 111 RBIs, 123 runs, over 400 on-base percentage, over 1,000 OPS. I mean, he's down in the slugging percentage to both of them, but, geez, you just can't argue with it. I mean, Showtime's 9.1 WAR. I mean, I don't delve so much. I mean, they love talking about war. Everyone
I still
loves
haven't accepted it yet,
no,
though. Yeah,
everyone loves talking about it. I kind of love just looking across the slash lines and comparing the slash lines, like our old school box score, you know, mentality. I think Vlad is the one. I was saying it all along when they were barking right. Ohtani all season. I was like, no one's talking about Vlad.
Right. Well, you were one of the first people to bring up how much he was flirting with the Triple Crown. So you definitely, you weren't necessarily OG there, but you're definitely close to the ground floor. And then we go to the NL because, you know, you have Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto, and Bryce Harper. Now, you follow baseball generally better than I do. I tend to focus on what's in front of me, which is the Red Sox. But I will say that when I break this down, I won't go through the whole thing, but I think there's no way, in my opinion, that Fernando Tatis Jr. should win this, because I think if anything, for him getting in the fight with like Machado on the bench at the end of the season, like forget about the numbers. He missed some games because of his shoulder, but like to me, that if I was a baseball writer voting on this, I would never vote for him this season.
Yeah, most exciting player maybe, not most valuable player.
So who do you give it to?
Listen,
I mean, Washington's not good.
No, but statistically, the best, in my opinion, probably the best player in baseball is Juan Soto, if you look at him. Given the fact that, look, the team he was on and what he was around, 145 walks, right? You put him on a good team, put him on Toronto in that lineup. Put him in the Yankees, put him on the Red Sox.
They had no talent, so they didn't have to pitch to him.
Never had to pitch to him, and he still batted .313. 111 runs, 29 home runs, 95 RBIs, .465 on-base percentage, which is aided by the walks, obviously.
145 walks.
That's 145 walks. That's
like Barry Bonds.
Yeah, Barry Bonds, what, 200 he walked that one year, yeah. But they would walk him with the bases loaded, Showalter did. But still, if you look at the numbers all around, 7.1 WAR, I mean, Soto is amazing. He is just amazing. I think he is your dark horse to win it, because the team was really crap. But you could say the same thing about Ohtani, right? Both teams were crap. But Soto is just amazing. I think Harper is the one that's going to wind up winning it because he's the flashier player. He's the more recognized out of all of them because he's in Philly. The team actually was in it partially down to the end, where the other teams weren't in it at all. And like you said, San Diego was a mess.
I just think
he played different positions.
Yeah, I sort of thought he was getting—I wouldn't say getting close to getting washed up.
Who, Harper?
Yeah, I just felt like maybe he had peaked, and I was very impressed with
Harper's good, man.
I was very impressed because when you get to a point in MLB when you know that everybody knows how good you are and you still do well,
yeah.
I think it just shows how great you are. But when I look at him, 42 doubles, I mean, that's insane.
If you look at him, like, if you look at a highlight tape of him from the season, his spray, like how he sprayed the ball around the field this year, is just off the charts compared to what he usually does. And he can hit. I mean, he's always hit.
78 extra base hits. 78 out of, so more than half of his hits were for extra bases.
Yeah, and he only had 84 RBIs, but again, team sucked. You know, they weren't getting on base for him most of the season. The team was in the NL East, right? Totally underperforming, just not good. And they're in the NL East. That's the only reason people were talking about it. I mean, look at the Braves. No one talked about them at all. And they came back from, what, six back?
Yeah, we might want to touch on Boris's comments on the Braves in at the end maybe too. All right, so pick one.
I'm going to say Harper. Yeah. I think it should be Soto just because he's the best all around in the National League, but he's on whatchamacallit.
Yeah, I got Harper circled too.
He's on whatchamacallit. You know, he's on a crappy team. But I think Harper, like I said, gets it. Tatis, only 130 games. But what he did in 130 games is very impressive. Yeah. But again, the team was a mess.
Yeah, it was such a bad finish. I think he's hurt by that. How can you be an MVP on a team that imploded and a disaster? All right, let's go to Cy Young. AL Cy Young. Do you want to introduce any of these? Because I usually give a hot take off the top. Do you want to introduce the three AL finalists take off the top, and I'll respond to it?
Yeah. So Cole, Lynn, and Robbie Ray, right? So yeah. Lynn, all of them like really had pretty good seasons out through the stretch, right? And kind of faltered down the stretch. Lynn got hurt. Robbie Ray was probably the least shaky down the stretch than Cole. Cole kind of, you know, I think what's going to happen, even though it doesn't count, is you're going to kind of look at Cole's performance in the playoffs, you know, that crappy performance in the playoffs.
But that doesn't count for
me. I know it doesn't count, but it does count. It always counts. You know that. I mean, did they vote on it already before that?
I think so.
Did they?
I thought.
All right. So if they voted on it before that, I don't know. I mean, they all were shaky down the stretch, like I said. And Lance Lynn is like, you know, nobody cared about Lance Lynn.
Okay. So I don't even know what Robbie Ray's stats are. Lance Lynn won 11 games You got to give a Cy Young. I don't give a crap. The only one with 11 wins you give it to is like a closer. I mean,
he had the lowest ERA out of the
three. I don't care. He's actually on a good team. I mean, and Gerrit Cole won't get it because of the stupid spin rate stuff. He's not going to get it. There's not a chance he's going to get it because of this. What they call the stuff again?
The spider tack.
Spider tack.
But he actually didn't pitch bad.
I'm not saying he pitched
bad.
It's
just because of it.
Certainly it didn't seem the same for a lot of the time after the spider tack. Although, you know, listen, he's a great pitcher, and who wouldn't want to have him? But I just
Brady won MVP after the deflate gate, didn't he?
Who?
Brady.
Yeah.
So? Too soon?
I'm giving it to Robbie Ray.
Is it too soon?
It's not too soon. He's gone now.
No. I'm saying too soon for Cole, the spider tack.
No, I just
Can he win it next year?
Sure. I just don't think he's going to get
it. Listen, we talked about this too before. There's no doubt in my mind these guys were juicing themselves the whole season. Even afterwards, you watch these umpires check these gloves after like a month into that. They weren't even looking at it.
Yeah.
It was like the cop when you went by doing like 80 and he didn't want to get out because it was raining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He had all these these videos of the Houston Astros touching this, touching that.
Oh,
it's
my
like,
God.
I think they had a little bit of, basically they had a chem lab. They had one substance here, one there,
totally.
One there. And if you touch all three, it becomes spider
tack. It was like, what's that guy? Harris. From Major League, yeah. Bardol, Magisil, Midol, whatever it was.
Or in Naked Gun, where he's taking like the saw out of his back pocket.
Everything.
Great. So I'm giving it to Robbie Ray just because I think I don't even know what he did, but the other two I can't deal with.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
no, you can have a different take. I mean, who do you pick?
I think Cole was probably the best out of all of them. But again, the spider tack, I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think of the whole spider tack thing.
So you're giving it to Cole. You can't back out.
He's all right. I'll give it to Cole, okay. But he's not going to get it because of spider tack.
And the
nobody cares about Robbie Ray.
I know, but I swear, like he's the
only
one.
This is what
I'm
saying. Why do they shove three of them down our throat?
Right, but if they just announced Robbie Ray as a Cy Young, I'd have been like, what? I mean, Lance Lynn, he cannot win with 11 wins. I will buy you the second we take.
Why not just give it to Ohtani? He was 9-2 with
seriously.
A 3.18.
Yes, fine. Give it to Ohtani. But when we do 57, I'm telling you, if Lance Lynn wins, I'm buying you lunch the second we tape 57.
Well, I got a 1-in-3 chance. That's not bad.
All right, fine. NL Cy Young. We got Corbin Burnson, I want to say, Max Scherzer, Zach Wheeler. I literally got no juice on any of these guys, and I just picked Scherzer because Scherzer.
15-4, 2.46 ERA, 179 innings, 236 K, .864 WHIP. I mean, he's walking away with it, dude.
You think so?
Walking away with it.
At his age, too, it's incredible.
Walking away. 37? He's 37, I think, right?
Yep.
He had 179 innings. Wheeler had more Ks, but 213 innings. You know? Like 40 more innings. And he only beat him by 11 Ks.
It used to be you had to go 200 to even get kind of in the conversation.
Yeah.
So we agree on Scherzer. Let's rip through some more because I think the AL Rookie of the Year is fascinating.
Yeah.
We have Randy Arozarena and Wander Franco from Tampa and then Luis Garcia from Houston. I'm not going to do a hot take off the top. You tell me.
All right. This one drives me nuts. This one absolutely drives me nuts. I'm going to give it to Randy Arozarena.
Oh, my gosh. No.
I have no idea why Wander Franco is even in this conversation.
Why?
He played 70 games, dude. 281 at-bats. 7 home runs. I mean, 50,
he said he's
39
like the
RBIs,
longest,
two stolen
longest
bases.
Consecutive game streak.
So
to
what?
Start
he played 70 games. 70 games.
That's so funny, you and I. He's my pick.
70 games.
He's my pick.
What is like? Look up what even is the criteria. How many games you got to play?
Well, clearly,
so
Arozarena didn't play enough games because Arozarena played a ton of games the season before.
Rosarena's been in rookie since 2015, I feel like. But here's the deal. I feel this again. Like, let's push the narrative. This is the guy who's been the poster child for the best player in baseball for the last 3 years.
Who, Rosarena?
No.
Who?
Franco.
Oh.
For the best minor league player year after year after year. When are you going to bring him up? We bring him up in June. He plays 70 games. Rookie of the year. Let's give Tatis the MVP while we're at it. 130 games.
That's a good hot take, by the way.
I mean, it's ridiculous. 70 freaking games, you're going to give someone even a consideration. I don't care what the streak was. I don't care what your potential is. You didn't play enough,
so
period.
Who are you giving it to, then?
Arozarena. He had 529 at-bats, dude. I mean, come on. He had, like, almost 300 more at-bats than him.
But let's check how many games he had the year before.
94 runs, 20 home runs, 69 RBIs, 20 stolen bases, .356 on-base percentage. He's higher in every category, obviously, because he played more, but he shouldn't be higher.
He played 19 games in 2019. He played 23 games in 2020, and he's still considered a rookie.
Right, because he didn't have enough at-bats, probably.
And Wander Franco...
You probably have to have like 300 at-bats, and they just gave it to him as Franco because they want to have him in the narrative.
Wander Franco hit .288.
Jose Reyna hit .274.
All right, so you go...
Listen, Adolis Garcia should be more in the conversation than Wander Franco. His average was down, but the dude hit 31 home runs on a crappy team.
I got Franco. I can't change what I circled. I think your argument is decent, but I don't think Arozarena wins it because he's been the rookie twice.
He's been the rookie of the year twice?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's old.
Arozarena is only in the conversation because he was a monster in the playoffs and down the stretch last year.
Right.
But he wasn't around. I think he was actually a rookie with the Cardinals in like 2019, I think.
Yeah. That's correct. He played 19 games.
Right.
Listen, I think he's a hell of a ball player. So I just don't
he
think he's going to win.
He is exciting. He is an exciting ball player.
I hate him and I love him at
the
same time.
I'm telling you right now, the fix is in if Wander Franco wins the Rookie of the Year.
Fine. He's my
pick. The fix is
in. I didn't even pick anyone in the NL because I don't even know any of these guys.
Well, I didn't even write them down because I think Jonathan
Dylan Carlson, Jonathan India, and Trevor Rogers.
Well, listen, Trevor Rogers, pitcher for the Marlins. No one cares about him. He's not going to win it. Dylan Carlson on an exciting team who went and won down the stretch, had five gold gloves, the St. Louis Cardinals, which is amazing, right? More guys you haven't heard of, Tommy Edman, Harrison
and Bader. Fired their manager, more on that in a minute.
Right.
And so, I mean, we're going to just skip this one?
Jonathan India.
That's who you picked?
Yeah, his average went down late, but he was probably one of the more excitable players on the Reds. I'm going to give it to him.
All right. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 56, doing a little awards edition, seeing how we do in prognosticating, or at least giving our picks. A manager of the year. And again, like, it's funny, first of all, just take a step back. Five of these six.
I'm surprised your guy's not involved in this.
Well, maybe
he gets with all the hype and how he's the best manager in the bigs and all this crap.
I mean, I think he deserves to be there.
Yeah, whatever. He does. Cheater.
But maybe that's why he's not.
Exactly. And it probably never will be because the baseball gods are...
Kiss off. They did well. I mean, they did well, and he's the
but
manager.
But he won't be in it. They fired him, and they brought him back on the sympathy vote.
Fine. But he did a great job. Listen, forget about the fact that Alex Cora's not on the
Where's
list.
Where's the trash can? I'm going to bang on that.
Stop it. I got a buzzer. But don't you love it that guys like Kevin Cash, Scott Servais, Craig Counsell, Gabe Kapler are like... not only managers, but like these are guys we watched.
Yeah.
Not even when we were kids. These are like when we were adults. I find it fascinating. And Dusty Baker obviously was a player when we were babies. And for me, listen, Kevin Cash.
Has Dusty Baker ever won it?
I don't know that he has. He's taken five different teams to the playoffs, which is amazing. Not five different years, but five different franchises to the playoffs. And so what I wanted to say was, Kevin Cash, people think that Tampa's some Cinderella sob story. They were picked to finish first. Scott Servais, I think the end of the season for Seattle, I really like Seattle. And I think he did a great job. I think when they traded the closer, it could have melted down. I mean, it could have been a disaster. Yeah. It wasn't. He deserves a crap ton of credit there.
And they hung in. They hung in.
But I don't know how you don't give it to Dusty.
No,
he takes
have to.
A plagued organization that has no respect.
2 years in a row, too. Like, not that last year matters, but, I mean... Yeah.
So I would say, you know,
he handles it well,
but he deserves it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think Dusty deserves it.
So let's go to the NL where, you know, what was it? Gabe Kapler was the manager in Philly. That was
Philly, and they
job.
Couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Right. So you have Gabe Kapler, Craig Counsell, and Mike Shildt. And there's two really compelling things to this, in my opinion. One is obvious. Mike Shildt got fired.
Yeah.
Got fired.
Yeah.
And he's the finalist.
Why
for
is Snicker not in this?
Snicker? I don't know.
I mean, he should win it.
Couldn't pronounce his name, but he's not. Well, that doesn't mean maybe he was a close fourth, but like the fact that a manager who's literally not in that job anymore because he got fired is a finalist.
Well, they said they were going to go in a different direction.
Either
whatever
way,
that
he got fired.
He told the man. He
what
told the GM to you
he,
know what.
What is it? What do you think of an organization? I mean, St. Louis is always like they're the poster boy for the great franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, how does it look? I mean, no one will criticize him because they're the Cardinals. But how does it look if your guy wins manager of the year and you fired him?
Yeah, he's not going to win.
So I go back to Kapler, and I think he was a kind of a prick in Philly. I think he hadn't figured out how to dial it down from his intensity as a player.
Yeah.
And he didn't understand how certain players, because if a guy approached it in a way he didn't respect it and he couldn't hide it, right? But the reason why I don't even think I like him as a manager, like the way I saw him at Philly. But what I would say is that he clearly is smart enough to learn.
Yeah.
To learn what didn't work and then go. And maybe it was better because there were more veterans there that he could trust. I don't know. But like the fact that he was able to change his ways, I was surprised he even got hired there.
Yeah, I'm shocked that he got hired too. But I mean, the more and more I read about Buster Posey, that now that he retired and you actually get to hear stories about the guy, I mean, I think clearly that was Buster Posey's team. And maybe it was just more of, you know, it was
stay out of the way.
It was kind of a restart and he just got there and, you know, they were just along for the ride. You know, everything points to, you know, everyone feeds off of Buster Posey. So it's going to be interesting to see
if they do well next
How it works next year without him. But
I mean, that's funny you say that because there's no way they can do as well, right? There's no way.
No.
And
it's crazy because, you know, listen, they let Madison Bumgarner go too. I mean, not let, obviously the year before he was gone too, but still, I mean, great pitcher. Totally, like, still has it, and they just let him go. You know, I mean, Madison Bumgarner is still a good pitcher.
Yeah.
I'd have no problem with him coming to the Yankees and pitching for them.
No, I wouldn't mind him on the Red Sox either. So, I mean, I think I'm picking Kapler and Baker.
Yeah. Who was the other one in NL?
It's Craig Counsell with Milwaukee.
No one cares about Milwaukee. That's what sucks about these
teams.
But
why does that factor into the voting?
I don't know, because they're just never talked about. They're good, like, every year, and they never do anything. You know,
well, that's true.
I think Kapler's going to get it because they were like the Cinderella team. No one knew. Look, they were the Red Sox of the NL. That's what they were. Nobody ever thought they were going to be good, and they were good. But the difference is, you know, they both, you know, Red Sox actually went further. So,
yeah, I think Kapler wins it. And so that's so you got your stuff written down. You circle the ones you're taking because we're going to go over this after the announcements.
Well, it's all on tape. So,
OK, fine.
I would never backtrack on my bold predictions.
And what is it? I buy if Garrett Cole wins, I buy you lunch.
That was the only wager.
OK, you want to wager on something else?
No.
OK,
no.
All right. So give me your nugget.
All right. So we're talking awards, right? So we're going to talk Yankees and Red Sox awards, right? So we're going to talk, first of all, AL Rookie of the Year. The award's been around for 74 years, since 1947. And
They never did Rookie of the Year before that?
No. Nope. And there has been 8 Yankees have won it and 6 Red Sox. You want to know who they are?
8 Yankees.
You can guess who they are?
8 Yankee.
The most recent.
And 4 Red Sox?
No, 6 Red Sox.
6 Red Sox. Well, I know Pedroia won it.
Yep.
Is he the most recent?
No. Most recent. Yep.
Bogey didn't win it. Devers didn't win it.
Nope.
Yankees have 8. Who was the most recent? I don't think they've had one in a long, long time.
Aaron Judge, 2017.
Duh, stupid.
That's all right. I mean, it's not hard to forget.
Was it Jeter?
What's that? He should have won the MVP that year, but Altuve stole it from him with his trash can.
He stole it.
So before that, Jeter in 96, Munson in 70. There's a big, long gap there. And then Stan Benson in 68, Tom Tress 62, Tony Kubek 57, Bob Grimm 54, and Gil McDougall in 51.
All right.
The Red Sox, Pedroia 07, yeah. Noma in 97. Yeah. So the Yankees back-to-back Red Sox, 96-97.
Oh my.
Shortstop. Fred Lynn in 75, which I think he won the MVP that year, too.
Right, and you know, he had a really short career. People don't realize, like, he was there for a hot
minute.
And
he didn't make the Hall of Fame either.
He doesn't. He's not, you look
he
at
wasn't around
numbers.
For.
No.
Right.
I mean, the thing that was exciting about him, you were probably too young, but when he hit that Grand Slam in the All-Star game that one year, it was like, oh my God, because no one ever did that.
Right.
So you have Fred Lynn.
75. Fisk, 72.
Big names.
Yeah. Don Schwall in 61.
there goes the streak of big names.
And then Walt Drapo in 1950. So that's interesting. Yankees have him by 2 in the Rookie of the Year. So let's go to, you want to do Cy Young next, and then we'll save it for the MVP?
Sure.
Cy Young's been around for 65 years, since 1956. Boston edges out the Yankees 6-5 in this one. Who's the latest one for the Red Sox?
Well, I'm trying to think if anyone had it after Clemens.
Just recently, not long ago.
Oh, so was it Porcello?
Yeah, 2016, Rick Porcello. Before that, Clemens was the Yankees in 2001.
Didn't deserve.
And then he goes to the Red Sox in 91, in 87, in 86, where he won the MVP in 86, too.
He started the season.
So there's hope for Shohei. What's that?
He was 14-0 to start that season, too. You know, it's funny. We did this on my morning show, my day job. Can you guess, just do this as a closer, Cy Young, the award's named after, you know, he won 511 games.
Yeah.
No, he won, yeah, 511
games.
You know, and he lost 315. So basically, he basically had a decision like in every start because he had 800.
Well, he pitched like every day.
Right, but he had 815 starts, right? So if he has 815 starts, he had more decisions because he had relief. He actually has 826 decisions because he had 511 wins and 315 losses. But what I wanted to ask you was the craziest thing, and I know it's a different world. Can you guess out of those 815 starts, how many complete games he pitched?
815 starts, complete games. 760.
Wow, that's crazy. Well, on Price is Right rules, you would lose because you overbid.
Yeah.
But it was
620.
It's 749.
Well, I was close, dude.
Yes. Like, I'm actually pissed that you're that close. Like, I wanted you to be like, because if you said 250, it would be a ton.
Yeah.
But you happen to jump right to the.
I was close.
Yes. Yeah. Like, well, it surprised me. You took my mojo.
Well, not only that, dude, but you threw every day. Like, it's crazy. Those guys are crazy. Like, you mean to tell me, like, your arms changed that much? Over the years?
Well, they definitely throw.
In another 100 years, you won't even be able to hit because everyone will be looking at their phone. They're going to have to play on the ground.
It's going
to
be a video game.
Virtual baseball. All right, let's finish up with Cy Young.
Quickly,
right? So we did 6-5. Pedro for the Red Sox in 2000. Clemens, 91, 87, 86. Guidry in 78. Sparky Lyle, 77.
Sparky Lyle.
Jim Longberg for Boston in 67.
Yep.
Whitey Ford in 61 for the Yankees. And Bob Turley in 58. All right, so let's do the MVP. So this is the one that's been around the longest, the most prestigious award. Since 1911, 110 years. So happy anniversary to the MVP award. The Yankees have got the Red Sox crushed on this double, 20-10.
Wow.
The latest one, we won't go through them all, but the latest one is Pedroia for the Red Sox in 2008.
It's been
A-Rod
a while.
A-Rod 2007. And then before that, for the Red Sox, was the hit dog, Mo Vaughn, 1995. And then you got the Clemens, like we said, the MVP in Cy Young in 86, Mattingly in 85, Rice, Lynn, the double year in 75, Yaz in 67. And then we got Mantle, Maris, a guy named Jackie Johnson, Jensen. Do you remember him? 1958
no.
for Boston.
It's crazy that there's an MVP you don't remember.
Jackie Jensen for Boston.
I do remember the name.
Mantle back-to-back years, 56, 57. Yogi streak, 55, 54, 51. Rizzuto, 50. And then Williams and DiMaggio battle it out. 49 Williams, 47 DiMaggio, 46 Williams. And then Spud Chandler, everyone remembered him in 43 for the Yanks, right?
Well, that was wartime, remember?
Yeah, Spud Chandler. Joe Gordon, 42. DiMaggio, 41, 39. Gehrig, 36, 27. And believe it or not, Babe Ruth only won one MVP. That's probably because he was playing a little bit before. What? When did he start?
He was before 1911.
Before. He would have won more, right? So he only won one in the back end of his career in 23.
Well, that's funny, but through the entire...
The first one, 1912, the second year of the award, Tris Speaker for Boston won it, 1912.
That's cool. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, 20-10. So Boston's got a ways to go, but that Yankees run with through the 40s and 50s
really
cranked it up. Yeah.
Well, all I know is how many championships in this century?
Four for you and one for us. Yeah.
We'll
27 world titles.
All right, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, and we will talk to you next time.